Thessalonians chapter 4 is exclusively the revelation of the rapture. And I emphasize another time that you don't get the rapture in the Old Testament. You get Christ coming to the earth in the Old Testament, but Christ coming to the earth to meet us all is exclusively a New Testament revelation. And that revelation has been given to us in writing by the Apostle Paul under the power and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And we read this wonderful chapter that unfolds to us what will take place at the rapture when Christ comes to the earth. Now the second scripture we want to read is in Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now this second point about the Lord's coming, I want you to consider the Lord's coming as a daily expectation. It seems to be that first believers lived as they were gripped with this great event, that at any time Christ could come back again. It is said about the Thessalonians that they turned to God from idols. That, of course, was conversion day. My beloved, at times to go back to that happy day when we trusted Christ and the burden rolled away. Happy day. If you can see the daily expectation of the New Testament believer, that any day, any moment of any day, Christ could come back. You know, brother, I love at times to think on Christ coming as the bright and morning star. This is our bright and blessed hope. Sometimes we like to think of him coming as the shepherd. 1 Peter 5, of the reward for the under-shepherd. Sometimes we like to think of him coming as the bridegroom for his bride, blessed fruit. Sometimes we like to think of him coming as the king, Revelation 19, the set of his kingdom. But when we think of Christ coming as the bright and morning star, brethren, when the morning star appears, the night is forever past. I say, what a blessed truth. This past the dark and dreary night, brethren, men, Christ comes to the air, the dark night of the dispensation will be forever gone. And thank God we shall meet him in the air. I agree with Brother Adams at one of the conferences. He made a difference between being taken up with the person and the event. I believe there are people who are marked by curiosity when it comes to future events, but they're not taken up with the person that's coming. My brother, what a moment when we shall see for the first time the man who died upon the tree, our beloved Lord Jesus Christ. This is the daily expectation of the New Testament believer, and my brother, there's no reason why that Christ could not come at any moment. This is the daily expectation of the New Testament believer that Christ could come at any moment. Oh joy, oh delight, should the go without die. My brother, that's a great possibility. We believe in the daily expectation of the Lord's people set on the coming again, the coming of Christ to the earth. As I thought on this great future event, third point, without reading, the Lord's coming as a gospel termination. you, brother, when the Lord comes, this great dispensation will be over. What a dispensation we live in. Many times I'm thankful to God I don't live in the dispensation of law. I'd have been gone long ago. But God has privileged us to live in the greatest dispensation of all dispensations. And I could call this a great gospel dispensation. Now you think of the gospel has been preached to the ends of the earth during the past 1900 years and the millions of souls that have believed the wonderful story of Jesus and His love. And have saved. This is the day when God is saving souls. Well, I know after the Lord comes, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached, and thousands of Jews and thousands of Gentiles will get saved and they'll go into the kingdom. Revelation chapter 7 refers to that, but this is a great gospel dispensation when the good news is being proclaimed that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You know, brother, the last gospel message will be preached. And the last soul will get saved. And I sometimes wonder where the last soul will get saved. And then this great dispensation will come to an end, and Christ will come to the earth. The Lord's coming as a gospel termination, bringing to an end this great gospel dispensation, and all the redeemed will be snatched away, caught up to meet Him in the air, and not one hoof left behind. Say, brother, this would fill one's heart to think on the Lord's coming. As I pondered the Lord's coming, I wanted to turn quickly, please, to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And we'll read verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, that doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifies himself even as He is pure. On this point, we want to think on the Lord's coming as a Christ manifestation. No, brother, not one in this building today has ever seen Christ physically. No. It's just a select few that saw Christ physically. And by the way, there's no physical description of Christ in the New Testament. It's either symbolic, or spiritual, or moral, or typical in the Old. But for some reason, the Spirit of God has withheld a physical description of the Lord Jesus. And that's why the artist is just using his imagination when he paints his supposed pictures of Christ. You never think of a child of God putting on his wall a supposed picture of Christ. That's getting close to idolatry. I sometimes talk to myself, and I'm not an old man, but sometimes it's good to talk to yourself. Like chewing the cut. I say, John, you've never yet seen Christ physically. You've seen Him spiritually. You've had a revelation. You've had an illumination by the Spirit.
You understand who he was, why he came, who he died for on the cross of Calvary. You understand whose sins he suffered for. The Spirit of God has enlightened you as to these three effects, and you believed it, and you believed.
I tell you, friend, that's a wonderful thing to be able to say, you're saved. I say to myself, John, there's something you haven't got yet. You haven't had a physical revelation of Christ. You really don't know what it's like physically. But you're going to get it. And you're going to get it at the rapture. My brother, that great moment will come when you and I will see the man who died upon the cross, literally and physically. We're going to have a private manifestation. I believe that there's a private manifestation and a public manifestation. And before Christ is publicly manifested to the world in his glory, he's going to be privately manifested to God's beloved people. You and I, brethren, are going to have a preview. A preview of the great person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why in 1 John chapter 3 it says that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. When are we going to be like him, and when are we going to see him as he is? I say, blessed moment, face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When the rapture I behold and Jesus Christ who died for me. Brethren, this is one of the greatest moments in the future when we see the man of Calvary. Man whose brow was crowned with the crown of thorns. I say, what a moment. At the rapture. The Lord's people are going to get a Christ manifestation. They're going to get a picture of what Christ is physically. I say, what a moment that will be when we shall gaze upon the man who died upon the cross, who's going to be the supreme ruler of the universe, the man who bears the marks of the nails in his hands and in his letter. What an event thereafter is. What a moment the rapture's going to be. What a hope the rapture is for God's beloved people. I say, what a hope. A happy hope. I thought in this great, heart-affecting, soul-filling, mind-adjusting subject, I want you to turn quickly, please, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. I want to look at this point as the Lord's coming as a future liberator. Will I say anything about the day of redemption and what's going to take place? Here's one of 12 references to the Holy Spirit in this wonderful epistle to the Ephesians. I don't know any subject that's more neglected today among us than teaching on the person work of the Holy Spirit of God. That moment, brother, you trusted Christ, you didn't know it, but it doesn't change the thing that happened to you, sealed with that Holy Spirit of God. That's the seal of ownership. You know, that night you trusted Christ, you didn't know very much. After you told your testimony for 20 or 30 years, it began to stretch. That moment you trusted Christ, you didn't know very much. But my brother, that moment you trusted Christ, you became what you never were before, a child in God's family, and you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Seal of ownership. Oh, I recognize the fact that I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. The Spirit of God has taken possession of me, to use my tongue, to use my hands, to use my feet, to use my lips, to use my eyes.
in the service of a great master. Brethren, that's why the Spirit of God has taken possession of you and me, that he might use us as divine property. I'm not my own, I'm bought with a price. The day of redemption is the finalizing of the work of redemption. Brethren, he's coming back as a redeemer, a liberator. He's coming to liberate God's people from the bondage of corruption. So you think of the bondage of corruption. I have a dying body. I have a body that's subject to sin, sickness, and disease. I have a body that's subject to illness and death. I need to be delivered. Oh, thank God that great moment will come when the divine deliverer will appear. And God's people, millions, 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 are going to be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Delivering, delivered, spirit, soul, and body. I think of that verse. Always stand the strong of both that strong. But people get older. I can see the great difference between the problems of younger people and the problems of older people. But brother, don't let us think the younger people have all the problems. Older people have problems that younger people don't have. I believe that this is one of the great truths that would cheer the heart of young and old. He's coming. The day of redemption is going to be ushered in. God's people are going to be liberated from the bondage of corruption. And that's more developed in Romans chapter 8. I give thought to the Lord's coming. I won't read the scripture. I want you to think on the Lord's coming as a miraculous operation. We were speaking this morning in the Bible reading on the glory of Christ, the second glory. The rapture is going to be an opportune time for him to display his glory, his Godhead glory, the power of his Godhead glory. How? You ever stopped to think on the miracles of the rapture? Have you ever thought on the great miracle of the dead being raised? I had a sweet thought today. I just speak talk to the different conferences for my brethren. I have seen something was wrong if I just a full week and not get fresh impressions of the Lord Jesus. I wouldn't be working at it. I feel that there's something wrong. And the thought struck me, the same power that it took to raise thousands from the dead, that same power will raise millions. No limits to his power. You think of it. Please don't try to reason it out. See what God says. If human reasoning enters into this, how it's going to be done, rather you're going to rot. Human reasoning cannot reason out these great miraculous things concerning Christ. Oh, think of it. Millions and millions of believers who have fallen asleep. Old Testament, New Testament saints, I say millions. Every one of them will be raised. Will be raised from the dead. And one of them. Not one left behind in the tomb. Tonight resurrection. What about the living? They're going to be changed. Oh, I'm so glad I'm going to be changed. Maybe it'll be 5'5" or 5'6" or 5'7". Rather, we're going to be like Christ physically and morally. We're going to be changed. Only the mighty power of the risen Christ could do this. It's miraculous. Then you think of the great miracle of snatching away living saints to be raised, the living saints. Both have been changed. the miraculous power that snatches them away to meet Christ in the air.
You talk about supersonics. I only wish the fare was cheaper. I'd like to cross the Atlantic on a supersonic, but likely I'll never be in that position. In a quarter hour, you think of the rock.
And then, the mighty power that's going to take them from the air right into the Father's house and present them, Paul said. I tell you, brother, the miracles that are associated with the rapture are worth looking into.
It is that. I'm going to go. The last scripture I want to read is Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation.
For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him.
This final thought. The Lord's coming as a mental preservation. Why does nothing but preserve the minds and hearts of the Lord's people on earth with all its dangers and its seduction life being taken up with the coming again of the Lord Jesus? Before I further express myself on this point, I'm glad of verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our through our Lord Jesus Christ. That means when Christ comes, we'll be raptured, we'll be saved from coming wrath. When wrath falls upon a godless world, I'm one of those that don't believe that church will go through the gate for the nation. None of them. God has not appointed us to wrath. We've been saved from that judgment. Notice Paul here looks at the Thessalonians as warriors. He's looked at them as mourners, workers, now warriors. He says, put on the armor. That is separate from Ephesians 6. Put on the armor. Put on the breastplate of faith and love, and sword and helmet for hope of salvation. In other words, he says, brethren, protect your heart, protect your head. I see the helmet, that's what I want to emphasize in clothing. That's for the head. What's the hope of salvation? It's the coming again of the Lord Jesus. In Ephesians 6, the helmet is the helmet of salvation. That's a daily, day-by-day salvation. But here, the helmet is the hope of salvation. I put the helmet on. I put this head protection on. I find as my mind becomes engrossed and taken up with the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm experiencing a mental salvation. Ever any trouble with your thoughts, brother? I believe the thought life the Lord's faith is more important. You would be surprised and shocked if you knew at times what some people thought, think, and what he thought you could think, and what she thought you could think. My brother, unless the mind's protected and brought under control, this mind of yours and mine could just about think anything. You keep the mind right, everything else is right. If you're not watching your thinking, things will get out of control, and before you know what's happening, you're doing the very thing your mind thinks. I believe people backslide up here first. I believe that people get away from God in their thinking, and then the moment comes when they express their thinking in attitudes and acts. Now, says Paul, I want you believers to put on the head protection that you might be preserved mentally, that you might be preserved in your mind. He says, put on the helmet, think, meditate, ponder this good event, the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the result will be mental preservation. My brother, if you want to keep your mind right, keep meditating upon the good word of God. And if you want to live on this earth as a stranger away from home and a pilgrim going home, day by day meditate upon this grand and glorious event, the coming again of our beloved Lord Jesus Christ. You take these hurry thoughts about the duty thing, and I trust for the blessing to you and to me, and that God will give our brethren help as the healing continues, and the result be that God will speak to our hearts, revival will take place, restoration take place, and even tonight, salvation for someone who knows not the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior.